A lot of discussions happening from Washington, D.C. in regards to the EPA, and add to it, the Midwest Crop Tour does continue. So there's a lot of factors that have been weighing in from a grain perspective, especially when we look at the soy oil. Good afternoon. You're listening to the American Ag Network. I'm Susan Littlefield. Darren Fessler is joining us today. He is with Lakefront Futures. And I think that's where I want to kick it off, Darren, is let's talk about the soy oil and what you've seen today in this complex.
Yeah, so we had some pretty good announcements yesterday that there was going to be some announcements about this this refinery biofuel waivers. Again, it's kind of somewhat a little bit confusing. And how I always look at it, well, what did it do for the prices? And yesterday we had soy oil in the DEES contract up almost 5%, 4.7. And then another strong announcement today is, you know, just kind of confirming what we kind of hinted at yesterday. And soy oil up another 3.7% here today. I think that when you look at the bean market and this breakout pattern beans have been on, and this announcement just driving that soy oil is kind of feeding that fuel a little bit for this the renewables and obviously for the beans here. But it all really started kicking off last week when we got that friendly carryout number from the USDA, at least on the beans. So again, what we're looking at here, obviously we have the Pro Farm Tour just wrapping up here this week, and we're going to get some data after the close here. And so when we're just looking at this overall metric here, whether it comes to weather, the thoughts, you know, pod counts, this market's still firmly bullish and the momentum's still there. And whether we're a 52, 53, 54, I think, you know, let the chips fall where they may here. The weather, I think it's one of two ways. Yes, it's going to be drier, but it's also going to be cooler. So how does that balance things out? When we ran the models last night, extrapolating out the data from Pro Farmer and putting it within some of our models and doing a production-weighted type of outlook, it suggested 54.2. Now, boy, that seems really high compared to what we're hearing from, you know, parts of the Iowa, Illinois, the sudden death syndrome. You get out to the Eastern Belt, you got a lot of more drier conditions than what we're seeing in the West. And so, boy, it's a crapshoot right now. And I think that when you, even if you have a half a bushel or a bushel decline in this yield, given the already sub 300 million carryout, boy, things could get still interesting for this bean market.
Well, and you look at all the factors that have been weighing in on it, and everybody says we're mid, I would say, almost to end of August now. Weather has been conducive for these soybeans, and now we've got a stretch of some cooler temperatures that are coming in. So that might have an effect on some pod sizes.
I certainly think so. I mean, I think back to last year where we didn't get a whole lot of rain during August, and you know, a lot of people, myself included, think, okay, this is going to really kind of hammer that yield, and it didn't really have that huge of impact nationally. So do we see that same type of impact now? I don't know. I mean, I know that I think this is a fairly good-sized bean crop. I think this is a fairly good-sized corn crop. Speaking to some of our clients in the northern plains, North Dakota, South Dakota, the biggest thing that they're wanting is heat to progress this crop along. I mean, they are, you know, when you look at all those Canadian smokes have come down and you look at some of the cloudy days that they've had, it definitely has impacted the progression of that crop. So, and they have planted a lot of beans again, a lot of corn. And so, at the end of the day, it's, you know, maybe we don't need as much rain now on some of these beans. But, yeah, the pod size are going to be pretty important here. I think that even the same thing on the corn. Are we getting enough moisture to fill out the kernels? How is that kernel size and kernel depth? I think that's going to be a big, big barometer, especially in parts of Illinois. I think we're starting to see that. You know, in what Pro Farmer had said, we definitely have heard it from our clients over the last 2 to 3 weeks. Hey, Darren, we got some issues out here, whether it's disease, whether it be progressing and maturing this crop along further than we normally would like to see. And yes, there's issues. Are we at 189? I'm kind of not in that camp. When we ran our models last night, we were suggesting somewhere in that ballpark of 183. At the end of the day, it would still be a record crop, still a big crop. But again, the ebbs and flows of the market will give us some opportunity. And you got to like how corn's holding up here, given all the bearishness we've thrown at it so far this year.
Well, man, talk about ebb and flow of a market. This cattle market has been quite the interesting ride.
It certainly has, but it's made my job really easy, Susan. What has cattle done? It's higher. Tuesday higher, Wednesday higher, Thursday higher. It's higher every day. Stronger box beef numbers. Duke has cattle on feed. At the end of the day here, we're watching placements. That really got it rocking and rolling. Where the end is, nobody knows. It's higher for longer. It just seems that way. A cash strong market. Boy, it's anyone's guess at this point where cattle could top out at.
Well, we'll see where this ride takes us as we get closer to Labor Day. Thanks so much, Darren, for joining us today. That is Darren Fessler. He is with Lakefront Futures. A quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's the Friday version of the market wrap-up right here on the American Ag Network.